Welcome to the Almost Awesome Esports Podcast. Tonight I am your host Ben, and with me I have my two co-hosts Simon and Taran. Taran, how are you tonight?
My name is Ajax.
And Simon, how are you tonight?
I am good, and if for all those people that didn't see this, Taran just put up the two finger, like the split finger like wave from Star Trek, and it was really fucking nerdy.
I haven't even seen Star Trek, so it's fine.
For those who have not listened to the Almost Awesome Esports Podcast, we're here to bring you the trending esports news. Tonight's episode has been introduced by the Fat Rats Xenogenesis. A link will be provided in the description. With that out of the way, I'm going to take it over to Simon to start off this week's 1 Minute Quickie.
Alright guys, my 1 Minute Quickie question for this week is, if you could be any animal, what would you be?
Oof.
Jesus.
Taran, do you want to start off?
I think I'd be a fly, just because then I could be a fly on the wall to many, many things I want to listen to.
That's creepy. Okay, if I could be any animal, I would have to be a sloth. Those things are pretty chill. There's no shits given whatsoever. What about you, Simon?
I would be a giraffe.
Oh, it's cute. For those at home who cannot actually see us, Simon's holding up a little plush giraffe, and it's adorable. Okay, Taran, how about you?
My question for you guys is, who would you turn gay for?
Jesus Christ.
I'm going to start off saying Paul Walker. Paul Walker is dead, so yeah, I'm in the clear. Simon?
Oh, God. I would have to go with Ryan Gosling. He's dreamy. I'd definitely go gay for him.
And Taran?
Fair enough. No one. You just both admitted you're both fans.
No, you said you had to turn gay for someone.
I didn't say you have to, I said who would you? Wouldn't turn for anyone, so there you go.
Okay, my question for tonight, if you could actually take over managing one team from any sporting company, whether that be esports or regular sports, what team would it be?
I guess I'll go first, and I'd probably... I don't know. Probably the Parramatta Eels. Best football team in Australia. Thank you. Thank you very much. I'll be here all night.
Oh my god.
And
I don't even follow sports and I know that's bad.
Get fucked.
When Taran said he'd take over the team, it went bad. How about you, Simon?
I'm gonna have to go with Fnatic, just because they always win and they always have a lot of money, so I'm just gonna be there and have a lot of money. And I watched that one Vice documentary where they went and talked to the dude from Fnatic, and I was like, yeah, I want to be him.
And for me, I would have to take over Tip, so then I could change their slogan to Just a Tip.
Well worth it.
Would you like that out of the way? We're going to go over to Simon to introduce this week's news.
Can we keep the tips?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
God, that sucks. All right. Thank you, Ben. This week, as usual, I've got some Smite and some CSGO news. To start off, we're going to go with the CSGO news. I've got Havoc leaving Renegades, and he's being replaced with Ustilo, and then going 1-1 in their first week in the ESL Pro League. So that's a bit of a shock to see. Was sad to see Havoc go, but it seems that his new team was leaked, featuring Onfu.
Ovnu.
Who is ex Ovnu? He's ex Legacy. Moku, he's also ex Legacy. Lightstep, who's ex Chiefs. Top Gun from good old Vox, old Vox, and as of course Havoc. So that should be a good team with a lot of like good players from the Oceanic scene.
Yeah, they've all also had international experience with Top Gun recently playing for Chiefs, I think, at one of the IEM. Competitions?
Yeah, that was, should be good, actually, to see them go on and hopefully represent Australia, or represent Oceania.
Definitely.
We've also got FaZe Clan adding Robban as a coach, and was also added to the last people from to be playing in the new DreamHack I have there. ESL announces their $750,000 Pro League Season 3 prize pool. So $750,000, that's a lot of money for just a Pro League, and whoever wins it all, or wins a portion of it. Should be good. Also, in Smite news, the Smite Season 3 relegations, Week 1, wrapped up for both NA and EU, with Leftovers winning EU and Problem Solved winning NA. There were some good matches. It was very snowball-y, so it was very momentum-based, and I watched them, and they were difficult. They're different. A lot of the new players that I haven't seen before that came out of the whole Open Pro League and Open Leagues that they had recently to pick up new players, and it was nice. It was good to see some new get teams and some new players playing. Ben, with some more news.
So, before we jump into this week's League of Legends standings, I'm going to go through with a little bit of news that's happened over the last week. We have had Noxiac parts ways with Fnatic as of last week. Noxiac has actually announced that he has left Fnatic. He was actually moved to the sub bench into this coming week, and is now just decided to be removed altogether. As well as we have Hazel steps down as Origin's coach, as well as Xpecky to handle the interim duties. This was a bit of a shock. Origin announced last Thursday that, unfortunately, our coach Nicola Hazel Lazan, that's how you pronounce it? Lazan. Has stepped down from the position. We would like to thank Hazel for contributing to the team, but we are focused to seek different paths and aim for a different direction regarding our coaching department. So, yeah, at the moment, Origin's going into next week without a coach.
No, they're going into Xpeke is going to be their coach.
Xpeke, I wouldn't say he's taking over the coaching role.
He's taking over the coaching role for this period of time until they find someone else. But it seems like they're just a team that can't be coached. I mean, they've got a team full of big-headed idiots that seem to think they know better than everyone. So, see what happens.
We're just going to see how they synergize. So with that out of the way, let's move over to the standings. So NALCS, we have Immortals sitting at the top with 10 wins, 0 loss, followed by TSM with 7 wins, 3 loss. And down to the bottom of the list, we're looking at Renegades in 10th position with the 1 wins, 9 loss, as well as Echo Fox barely scraping above with 3 wins, 7 loss. Also tied in with Team Dignitas actually there.
Yeah, there's a few surprises here. I mean, NRG City in the middle, they're expected to be a top-tier team. There's news going around that Moon, if they don't start doing better in the next week, he might look to step down. But I think the biggest surprise is TIP not sitting at the bottom.
Just a tip. Yeah, they're actually progressing further, you could say.
Yeah, that tip's getting larger.
It's getting deeper. Anyway, moving over to the EU LCS, we have G2 Esports in first position at the moment, tying with H2K, I should say. 8 wins and 2 losses, followed by Team Vitality with 7 wins and 3 losses. They're also tying for third place at the moment with Unicorns of Love. And down to the bottom, we have Rocat with 1 win, 9 losses, and Giants also with 1 win, 9 losses. 8th place is Splice Esports, 3 wins and 7 losses. Oh, Jesus, it's just a mess.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of surprises here. I mean, no one expected G2 to come straight out of the Challenger scene and go straight to the top, especially in a league with teams like Fnatic and Origin, who should be dominating, but they're sitting down there in 5th and 6th place. I mean, something's got to change.
Something does have a change. Last week, we saw G2 clearly standing on top, and H2K is actually now able to draw with them.
Yeah, but G2 actually beat H2K, so they've kind of presented themselves as one of the best teams in Europe. We'll have to see how they go, of course, when it sort of comes to the best of 3 and best of 5 formats, but we'll see what happens.
So moving over to the LCK, we have Rocks Tigers, 7 wins, 0 losses, followed in by Jin Air Green Wings, 5 wins, 2 losses. Looking at the bottom of the list, we've got in 10th place Sneebus Sonic Boom with 0 wins still and 7 losses, as well as EM Fire in 8th place tying with Afrika Freaks for 1 win and 6 losses. No real changes. It's still a very linear list we're looking at the moment.
I think we saw SKT sort of climb one position there, come from 3rd to tied 2nd. So other than that, it looks pretty much exactly the same as last week, really.
To be honest, I don't think we're going to see much of a change. Maybe SK can pull out and secure second place, but yeah, Rocks Tigers are just firmly sitting in the front.
Yeah, I think the major fight there, rather than first, second, third, you've got, you know, Rocks Tigers, Jynneer and SKT, but the major fight there will be for that fourth place position between, you know, the KT, Longzhu and Samsung, with, you know, maybe CJ trying to push their way into fourth. I don't know, though.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to see much of a difference in that list, but moving over to the LPL in the Group A stages, we've got QG Reapers with 5 wins, 0 losses. Team World Elites in second place with 3 wins and 2 losses. It's tying for second with Snakes Esports. Actually, no, that's right. And down towards the bottom, we've still got LGD Gaming with 1 win, 4 losses, but actually tied with Energy Pacemakers, 1 win, 4 losses. Nothing I can really comment on that one.
Pretty much the same as last week, you know. It's still the fall of LGD and the rise of QG.
And moving over to the Group B, Royal Never Give Up still in first place, 4 wins, 1 loss. Invictus Gaming in second place, 3 wins, 1 loss. Down towards the end of the list, we still got Hyper Youth Gaming in last place with 0 wins, 5 loss. And VC Gaming in 4th place, well, tying for 4th, I should say, 2 wins, 3 losses with OMG.
Again, nothing out of the ordinary here. Pretty much the same as last week and same as been all season.
Same as all season, yeah. You can't really say anything different. So,
not really.
Moving over to the LMS, we see AHQ Esports Club with 18 points, 6 wins, 0 loss, 0 ties. Taipei Assassins have actually moved up into second place now with 3 wins, 1 loss, and 2 ties. Down towards the bottom of the list, we have Cougar Esports with 0 points, 0 wins, 6 losses, and 0 ties. And Midnight Sun Esports with 2 points. 0 wins, 0 loss, 0 wins, 4 losses, and 2 ties. The only real changes we've seen here is Taipei Assassins coming into second place.
Yeah, I mean, I really didn't expect Flash Wolves to drop out of second. I mean, AHQ and Flash Wolves, they were the two LMS teams at Worlds last year, and I kind of expected them to, you know, be the top two teams again this year. AHQ hasn't disappointed, but Flash Wolves seem to have fallen off a bit. Same as Hong Kong Esports, actually. They were up there last year fighting for that second-place position. But it seems like they've sort of dropped the ball a little bit. But, of course, with, you know, there's enough time in the season for these teams to sort of bounce back and make their way to the top of the ladder. Just not above AHQ.
It's good to see that TPA is going back to their former self and starting to actually move up in the list.
I don't think they'll move back to sort of Season 2 standards where, you know, they're world champions.
Yeah.
But it's good to see them putting up a fight.
Of course, they can't go out for low blow.
Yeah.
So with that out of the way, we move over to more local news with the OPL. Dwight Wolves were punished with one less ban in their second game against Sin Gaming due to an exploiting the Wraiths in game one. They moved the orb to mid lane, smited it, which sent it back towards the enemy jungle, causing quite a lot of confusion with trying being told it was not an exploit. Was clarified by Riot officials that it was an exploit, with this not conveyed to Sin and Dwyer Wolves. In the end, Dwyer Wolves took out the series 2-0. Other results included a well-fought 2-1 victory to Sheaves and Hellions over Avant Garde and Trident, respectively. And Legacy in dominating Infernum 2-0, showing that they are the powerhouse in the region at the moment. Looking at the ladder, after 4 weeks, Legacy sits on top with 4-0 record, and Dwyer Wolves also being undefeated at 3-0. Sheaves and Hellions round out the top four, with Trident at the bottom with a 0-3 record. Not that Trident, Sin, Sheaves, and Dwyer Wolves have only played 3 games. After Tuesday, we'll only see one undefeated team, with Legacy looking to take out the OPL Championship title away from Dwyer Wolves, which only won it a fortnight ago from Sheaves. The Oceanic Challenger Series is only 2 weeks in, and with Sheaves and Legacy Genesis at the top with 2-0, Abyssal Esports, White, and Legion Gaming are at the bottom with 0-2. The other four teams are all 1-1. So with that out of the way, over to Taran with this week's COD news.
Cheers, Ben. So the Call of Duty World League's been continuing this week. In Oceania, Orbit and Mindfreak sit on top of the ladder with 7 wins and 1 loss, with Tainted Minds just behind with a 6-2 record. Team Immunity wraps out the top four with a 5-3 record. XR5 sits at the bottom, still without a win. Over in North America, Envious and Optic sit at the top with an 8-2 record, with Rise Nation and Complexity just behind at 7-3. Dream Team and CLG sit at the bottom with 2 wins and 8 losses. Finally, in Europe, Millennium sits alone at the top with an 8-2 record, with Splice, Team Infuse, and Epsilon rounding out the top 4 with a 7-3 record. LDLC sits tied in 8th with a 3-7 record, and Pulse Gaming at the bottom with no wins after 10 games. With that, we'll move straight into our main topic, which this week is talking about why Simon is a whore. No, but seriously, our main topic this week is the impact of esports on game development. So, with many games coming out like Overwatch, Paladins, you could say Hearthstone in the last few years, these games seem to have been developed with competitive gaming and sort of being an esport at the core of it. Do you think that's having a major impact because of the amount of funding going into esports? Do you think that's sort of having an impact on what sort of games we're seeing developed for PC? Simon, start with you.
I think we are. I think with the esports, are really making it so every game is pushed much higher up as a standard to have much more fun, like, elements and team-based elements to account for this esport mentality. It really shows a lot of the development studios are really thinking about how these games can be used as an esport during the development process, which is really a neat thing to think about, because it's always good to see some games being like expressly, purposely built for esports, so they actually work a lot better than the games that aren't built for esports.
Yeah, that makes sense, but then if you look back 5 years ago, games like League of Legends, like the Dota 2, essentially the MOBA generation, wasn't actually developed to be an esport, and because of that, they've become two of the biggest games in the world. Do you think that having developers sort of decide now that they want to develop this, it's going to be an esport, do you think that's going to produce lower quality games, Ben?
I wouldn't say lower quality games, but it will be higher quality, but more towards the competitive scene, so to speak. We're seeing this a lot, like with Call of Duty as well. They've focused less on the campaign and more on the multiplayer features, leading up to the fact that it's more popular in the fact of multiplayer rather than single player. I mean, single player is still a great experience, but it's not raking in the reputation as well as the popularity as the multiplayer side of things. So back to the main topic, with games being developed more of the esports kind of mind frame, well, that's kind of seeing what we're getting out of it. We are seeing some independent games such as The Division, where it's not exactly what you'd call esports, more survival, but that's just a different kind of genre altogether, I suppose, when you look at it. But then you see a few other games being brought out in the near future which do have esports orientated, competitive orientated mind frame.
Yeah. One thing from that, though, did you just call The Division an indie game?
No.
I'm pretty sure you just called The Division an indie game, which, you know.
I did not call it an indie game.
Roll the tape!
Fucking hell.
Ubisoft is now an indie developer. Ben, 2016.
Yeah. God, that's not what I fucking said. Fuck off.
You did say that. No, I didn't. You said that. Yeah, you did.
But moving on from Ubisoft now being an independent developer, do you think, because of this, in 5 years' time, we're not going to see single-player games anymore on PC, Simon?
I think there's still a niche group of people that are playing those games for their single-player. But I think it'll be in a vast minority. Most video games on PC now are multiplayer, if not both multiplayer and single-player. So even games such as Dota 2 and LOL, they're basically all online. There's some offline component to it, but there is no, like, there's no single player story campaign kind of thing, because it's much cheaper to not put that in and have all your assets towards multiplayer and have a team based asset to it. Going back to the asked question you asked Ben, I think those games are, they're back in 5 years ago when they were first built. They weren't built for esports because no one knew what an esport was, apart from StarCraft.
South Korea.
Apart from StarCraft in South Korea.
Southcraft.
But those games, really, because they were built back then and they weren't known for an esport, they got adapted to being an esport. So a lot of the games just, instead of being... like, they were updated to add better esport things after it started to get picked up, and the developers saw this and noticed and went, this could be make us a lot of money. Let's make it an esport. Let's build it directly for an esport.
That's the whole thing, though. It seems to be all be driven by money. Like, well, that seems like, that's all businesses, but yeah. It seems like that's going to, you know, cause more bad experiences with everything being driven by money more so than let's make a game that's good fun.
Yeah, people are outweighing the paycheck over what they can deliver as an experience, and we're seeing that a lot now with games. But we still have, like mentioned before, indie developers who like to focus on the game. So regardless whether it's going to be single player, multiplayer, there's still going to be some sort of heart-driven content still being released. But we are going to see some AAA publishers trying to throw out quick games, try and make a buck for it. But hopefully we don't see that with the esports side of thing.
Yeah, definitely. Just one more quick question, though. What do you guys think of EA sort of saying now they want to make the FIFA games and the Madden games and all that sort of stuff esports? Do you find that interesting at all, or are you like me and find that really, really fucking dumb?
Well, we have seen FIFA on a competitive level before, but not to...
Well, FIFA we have, but not, you know, Madden and NHL.
Well,
and
yeah,
all
well,
these
we
other
haven't
games.
Seen well, the popularity of those games compared
also
to
the popularity
FIFA.
Of, yeah, also, the popularity of FIFA esports isn't overly big.
Isn't overly big, but comparing just the standalone games themselves, FIFA to Madden, NFL, blah, 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 FIFA's always going to come outweighing as a more popular title. So bringing them over to an esports, well, we're looking at FIFA already, and it's competitive, but not on the state of League of Legends, CSGO, Hearthstone, etc., etc.
Do you think it will get a proper viewer base? Simon?
I don't think so. Like, personally, I don't like it because they're just trying to money grab at this giant thing, and it's not like it's some new thing they've never seen before. It's real-life sports that you could watch on TV because they're already a sport.
Yeah.
That you could watch that you're just trying to... that are just showing, adding, like, the nerdy culture because they think it's cool to watch that. Because they all the people that watch FIFA and watch FIFA on YouTube and all that crap, they all already watch FIFA on... they already watch, like, actual soccer matches. Yeah. It's not like they're getting anything different from these... like, from this.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, I'm not...
no.
No.
Negative. No. Do you guys have any last words on this?
No. There's nothing else I can really put to it. Like, we see FIFA as it is. That's all it's going to be honest. I mean, all thumbs up if they want to try and bring it to the next level, but they're going to really have to bring something new to the table if they want to make it successful.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a struggle, but I really hope EA doesn't get too big into it because, you know, they've already got far, far... they've already fucked everything else up. Let's just hope they don't fuck up esports. Anyway, with that, let's move over to the, what are we calling it?
We're calling it the New Meta Minute. It's just another topic we're going to bring on for whenever we do not have a Play of the Week. So this week we're going to have Taron explain to us his experiences with changing up the meta in a esports game.
Yeah, so in a game of League of Legends, the champion, Janna, is usually played as a support player in the bot lane. You know, the shield, the tornado, lots of disengage, heal, shield. Really good support. I figure playing her mid would be a really good idea. You see, if you build full AP, the tornado can essentially... a fully charged tornado can completely clear a wave. So you've got really good wave clear. For things like assassins in mid lane, because you've built full AP, your shield will be significantly larger, which means you've sort of got that... you've got some more sustain there for all-ins like that. You've got the heal, of course, so, you know, if they try and engage, you can... say Zed comes in with his ult, you can sort of ult him away. Yeah, she's actually a really, really good mid laner. What are your thoughts on that?
To be honest, knowing Zed with the ult, that doesn't exactly work. It's a lock-on ult. I mean, as well as if you use your heal slash push away ult, it won't actually take effect until he actually spawns in after his ult's been completed, and by then he's already put his death mark on you and everything. So it's...
Yeah, but you use your ult between. So you use it after you've got the death mark on you, but before he does his full combo. So it limits the amount of damage the death mark will actually do to you.
That's true as well, but it doesn't push him away. I mean, once he's been locked on and you've initiated that ult, if he is inside that radius, like after the ult's been initiated, he's going to be right next to you and you're just going to be standing there in a spot. Janna doesn't exactly have the best movement speed.
Yes, she does. Her passive is movement speed for her.
That's true, but I mean...
She has the best... She's, like, the best moving champion in the game.
But she's got no exact, what I would call, escapes. That's probably where I'm going at with this, escape.
She's, like, the best disengaged champion in the game. She can keep everyone off her. She can get away rather easily. She's got the shield if she's getting all in.
I know, but Zed, like, bam, right next to you, is really hard unless you've got some sort of dash or jump or something like that. It's going to be a little bit hard to shake him.
Worst comes to worst, you just buy a Guardian Angels.
Buy Guardian Angels. Jesus Christ. Simon, do you have an input into this mad theory?
I do. I do have one question for you, Taren. So this got you from bronze 2 to bronze 1?
It won me one game in Norm.
So you're still bronze 2?
I'm bronze 1, thank you very much.
But that's a game of Normal. How do you think this would compete in a competitive match?
See, I haven't actually trialed it enough in a normal game to take it to the competitive level. But when I take it to the competitive level, I have a feeling that it's going to confuse the fuck out of people so much that my team will probably go off at me first for thinking I'm trolling. But then once I start playing it and prove that Janna mid is meta-breaking and the best mid laner in the game, they will all agree with me, I will get more honors, and I will continue to be a great teammate, cunts.
Okay, well... To be honest, my final opinion, there's too many variables to go into that, so tonight it's going to be a thumbs down for me.
It's a no for me.
It's a no from Taren, Simon.
I have one question. I have another question.
You just asked one question.
I have another question.
You just asked another question.
That's why I said I have another question.
But then you just asked another question.
I forgot my question now.
Go ahead.
So, this in normal, I want to say... This is why I don't play League. Because people like you is what ruins the League community.
Oh, God.
People like me who break the meta?
Yes, and play stupid, shitty little gods just because don't play in that role.
Just because I don't want to play, you know, I don't want to play what the pros are playing in a position, doesn't mean I'm, like, trolling.
It does,
I
mean, though. Lulu. That's the literal thing.
Not really. Lulu was a support champion. Now she's played in support, mid, top, and can be played jungle as well. You've got, you know, ADCs being played in the jungle. You've got, you know, you need people like me to break the meta to beat the meta.
You're putting yourself such on a high horse right now.
I've got to. I mean, I'm just that fucking good.
Like, oh, okay.
Me and League, it's like fucking coffee and God. It's just on that level. We're all on that level.
What?
So, with this debate out of the way, we're going to take you
Hey,
out
no, no, no. This debate's not over.
No, it's not over. Okay, I'm very sorry for who actually does listen to this podcast and has to put up with this.
The 6 people.
Yeah, I feel sorry for these 6 people, but Janna mid is the perfect champion. You should all try it and then send me a message on Twitter at @A_Taren or tell me in League at @Taboo1108. Honourable opponent, great teammate, both ribbons, thank you. Or you can also find me on Steam at Mr. Inconsistent.
And you, Simon, where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter at @A_Simon. You can find me on Smite at DJ Monkey Vomit. You can find me in League, which you'll never find me on League because I'm never on it, at DJ Monkey Vomit. You can find me on Steam at DJ MVCS. My name is still Tiny Tim. And you can find us on the Facebook page at facebook.com/AA, almost awesome esports.
He'll accept your messages at any of those where you can tell him he's wrong.
Or you can come and play Smite with me, because Smite is greater than League.
And you can find myself at AAE underscore Ben on the Twitter, as well as White Ravenix on the OCE League of Legends servers. So with that out of the way, we're going to leave you to the Fat Rat to conclude this episode. And as always, stay awesome.
Bye.
Fucked it.